A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com. My name is James, editor at that website. With me, as always, my co-host, Nick Mason.
Hey, so, your voice is surprisingly calm and measured, considering what fun personal anecdote just happened to you. What happened just before we started this?
About a minute before Mason turned up, I took one step into my backyard and just rolled the shit out of my ankle.
Right. Like,
stacked it, had toast in my hand, lost it. Dog ate the toast.
So you're going into this podcast having eaten no toast.
Yeah, zero toast.
It's going to be a low energy.
But my ankle looks fine, right?
No, it looks like somebody's like cut the skin open and then stuck like a ping pong ball under it and then sort of stitched it back down again. Like there's a spectacular lump under there.
Yeah.
That's, you're not coming back from that.
It's pretty good though.
In what sense?
In that I'm not coming back from it.
Oh, like yeah, definitely, yeah.
It's one for the ages.
Yeah, it looks real cool.
Yeah. But I'm with the show because, you know, we're professionals.
Have you not taken anything?
No.
Are you in a lot of pain right now?
I'm fine, honestly.
Are you?
No, I don't take a lot of pain meds.
So you're in a lot of pain.
I'm fine. I can definitely do this. If I fade, if I pass out, just continue. Just push me off the couch.
You know I'm not going to continue. I'm just going to leave. I'm going to quietly leave. I'm going to let this thing roll until it runs out, and then, I don't know, I guess when you regain consciousness in a couple of days, you can just put it off.
Yeah, that's it. All right. So did you see the new Netflix Daredevil trailer?
I did.
What did you think?
We don't see a lot, do we, in that?
No, it's very,
We don't see...
The suit?
We don't really see the suit, right? We just see the mask?
We just see the...
Is that the pre-costume costume?
One of the runs. I can't remember. But yeah, that's his pre-Daredevil costume.
Okay,
his ninja costume.
Right.
His ninjostume.
I mean, it still looks pretty good. Like,
yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, really? You're the first person I've heard who was like, it's all right. But
I guess if this is going to sort of segue back into the main cinematic Marvel universe, it maybe is a bit plain.
Okay, sure.
But I think if this show were to stand on its own and not connect to anything else in the Marvel Universe, I'd say that the costume's probably fine.
Okay.
It's kind of realistic, kind of gritty look kind of thing.
Just a teaser though, you know?
Yeah.
It's about $3 million an episode, give or take. It's for the five seasons that they're making.
Yep.
This one and the Iron Fist and the Jessica Jones, which started filming actually, and the Luke Cage and the Defenders. I think it's something like $60 million in total. So yeah. And obviously there'll be some...
The new recorder can pick up how impressed I am by that.
Yes. And then, I was going to say, not every episode is going to be a $3 million episode, is
right,
it?
Okay.
So, you know, maybe they'll have a good special effect in one of them.
They'll have a good special effect, and then the budget will run out midway through the season, and they'll do classic, like, Trapped in the Ductwork episode. You know, one of those?
Yep.
Do you remember there's an episode of Red Dwarf, British comedy sci-fi series Red Dwarf, where... It's just set, so they're all just trapped in the ducts.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't cost anything.
It's literally one duct.
It's one duct. All you have to do is you have to get a really big bit of sheet metal, like scrap sheet, and then just bend it into like a square, and then just push all your actors through it.
Yeah.
And that'd be perfect for Daredevil.
Absolutely.
He's always going through ducts.
Always.
Yeah.
Too much, some say. Mm.
Yeah. So anyway, we see the proto-costume.
Yeah.
We don't really see his radar sense.
No, there's kind of like a weird out-of-focus kind of shot.
You kind of get.
I don't think they're going to do the Daredevil movie echo kind of thing that they did, which I didn't hate.
There does seem to be a bit, unless I imagined it, and it's possible I did because I wasn't really paying attention, but there seems to be a bit where he touches the wall and he can hear through the through he can hear the vibrations. Yeah, no, right. And he can hear people talk through his hand, which I guess is maybe part of it.
Like a regular man.
Yeah, like I think because the thing about Daredevil's radar senses, it's always it's sort of whatever they want it to be at the time. You can sort it in, you know, the original version, he's blind, but all his other senses have been enhanced, and he has a radar sense, like it's an additional sense.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like it's a sort of a radiation that he generates from his, you know, his head or whatever.
And a big pocket of radiation in his brain.
In his brain, exactly, that he got from the head wound. Yeah. But then later versions have been like, well, all his other senses combine to produce it kind of thing.
Exactly.
And he visualizes in his head. Yeah. So I think they're probably going more with that.
I would definitely say so. Mm. Yeah. But also that, like, and there's some versions where he can hear a particular person's heartbeat on like the other side of the city.
Yeah.
And other times it doesn't work and whatever.
Sure.
So, yeah, but to be honest, I love this character.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anyone else quite like him. Like, such a unique set of powers. And the whole, like, the things that about him that make him unique. Like, the, you know, the religious side of things
mm-hmm.
and the law side of things. Like, it's just, there's so many factors.
Mm.
I just find that really, really interesting.
That's three factors.
Yeah. Okay, so that's, you're right.
There's no other superhero has that combination of three factors, though.
Yeah. You're right. Did you hear that DC is scrapping the new 52 or something?
Oh, again, now something. It's so vague. Oh, I did hear about that. So,
DC Entertainment announces new books, new creators, broader focus from the DC universe.
Major changes, like, new directions.
There was a whole thing and who's writing who and whatever.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, there's a lot of great artists and writers who are on board or still on board.
Bold new direction.
I think they're just basically broadening it.
Inclusive.
Yeah.
Contemporary.
Yeah.
Accessible. So, yeah, because
there's a whole lot of issue ones again.
There's more issue ones. Doesn't it make it more accessible?
I think for new people, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, like, say, for example, Ant-Man started again.
Yep.
I think if you're going to read Ant-Man, it's a perfect jumping off point because it's well written and whatever. Mm. So, I think it's...
Do you think that whenever they do this, they lose some sort of diehard fans?
I think so, yeah. I know because you never jumped on the...
Yeah, I mean, I just sort of... I just went, oh, I have to learn another set of origin stories for everybody.
Yeah.
Do I want to do that? Do I want to figure out how Superman got his costume again?
Do you?
No.
Some kind of mesh nanotech?
Some sort of bio-nanotech mesh now.
Yeah.
But I guess they're not really rebooting anything, but they're just sort of concentrating less on continuity.
Yeah, it seems
that's going to lead to trouble.
It's more kind of one-shotty kind of one-off kind of things, which I actually don't mind because... A lot of the best stories are kind of once-offs.
Yeah,
and
true.
A lot of the classic graphic novels are self-contained kind of stories. But even if they're just like, if they make very distinct story arcs, I think they should, if they're going to do it this way, less crossover between different characters where you have to read not only the main story but all the sub-stories that run parallel to that and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they channel that a bit more, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, it doesn't really matter. They'll do it again in 5 years. And
absolutely,
we talked about this exact thing last week with Marvel. So.
Yeah, and eventually what will happen is, and this happened, I guess this happened with 52 and this happened with Infinite Crisis or whatever, that eventually the people who grew up on the previous generations of comics will start writing comics.
Yeah.
And then they'll just reboot it to back the way it was when they were kids.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
But just to be clear, the old DC is not coming back.
Great. Great stuff. There does sort of be like there seems to be some interesting new titles in this.
Yeah, for sure.
What is it? It's called Batman Son of Robin now, the new Robin series.
Yeah.
I mean Robin Son of Batman. Another one makes no sense. But it looks like Damian Wayne and he seems to have some sort of demon buddy.
He's still
like
got his
pet
powers?
Demon kind of thing.
You know he's got the powers now,
I think so, he must do.
Yeah.
It's because definitely got a sword. There's two Robin books now. One's called like Robin Family or something like that.
And
it's
the other
like,
one's called, this one's also called Robin.
Yeah. Robin's a go-go. So many Robins. We Are Robin, it's called.
Okay.
And it's like, it seems to be like stories about all the various Robins that have ever existed.
Yep.
Maybe them teaming up or what have
like
you.
Like the Spider-Verse kind of thing.
Like the Spider-Verse kind of thing, yeah. Well, yeah, I don't really know any details yet, but it could be pretty good.
I don't think we should look it up.
No, let's never look it up.
Why would we?
Let's just complain about it without reading it.
But look, there'll be stories that are good and bad and whatever. It's always the way it is.
Yeah.
I'd like to see some really good Superman stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think the new 52 did Superman super well. Not that I've read everything.
Right.
But even like what people consider the best run... the guy who's doing Batman at the moment, Scott Snyder.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Right, okay.
But it's not great. Like, I think people are like, this is amazing, whatever. And it's good, but it's not up there with your Superman Birthright or whatever.
Do you think they've got the characterization wrong?
Yeah, but I
haven't read a lot of Superman in the last couple of years, but initially when he was introduced, this new version, he seemed quite arrogant.
Yeah, there is a bit of that. Yeah.
Okay, right, yeah.
But less so than... I read it a while ago, but yeah. Uh-huh. I was a little bit disappointed, to be honest, just because of how good the new Batman run is.
Uh-huh.
But hey, remains to be seen. But speaking of Superman, do you see his new power?
Can we get to that? Just as well, about this reboot.
It's either now or never.
All right, it's going to be never then. I don't care what his new power is. I don't care about nothing. One of the new books is by, and I'm a fan of the Hitman series, DC's Hitman from back in the day. Garth Ennis, who was the writer on that, and John McCrae, who was the artist on that. They're coming back for Section 8.
Okay.
And in the Hitman books, Section 8 were sort of a team of sort of all... mentally disturbed superheroes who may or may not have actual powers, but some are just crazy.
Like the Mystery Men?
Less powerful than that. Like Sixpack, who's just a guy who's drunk all the time.
Oh,
that's,
does he have a six-pack?
Dog Welder, who's a guy who like welds dogs to people. Stuff like that. Others.
Others.
I'll think of some throughout the episode.
Why and I'll Weld? Just drop. Why not Stitch?
His name's Dog Welder.
I know, but did he choose that after he started doing that?
We're going to find that out in Section 8, the ongoing series, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess we will come back to Superman's new power. Did you see it?
No, what is
it's
it?
It's like a basically kind of like a flare where he can just release all his stored up solar energy at once into one massive explosion.
Huh.
And then it renders him, like, mortal for 24 hours.
Interesting.
So, you know.
Okay, that's fun.
Yeah. It's a thing that's happening.
It certainly is. It's like Human Torch's Nova Flame.
Yes.
They've ripped it off.
Does that mean he can't Human Torch after he's done that?
Can't Human Torch for a while.
Oh.
Yeah.
Many minutes.
Not forever, because then...
Yeah, it's just a guy. It's just a guy fixing cars. Yeah, but you know what? People are like, oh, Superman, does he need another power and whatever? And yep. No, he doesn't.
Uh-huh.
But at least it's interesting that it's also a weakness.
Yes,
so I think
true.
From that aspect, it's not a bad idea.
Mm.
I've actually got an email here from Alex, though.
I like the idea that Superman just has heaps of weird powers.
Yeah.
I'm 100% okay with that. The future version of Superman, Superman 1 million, can pretty much do anything. Telekinesis, weather control, mind control, whatever he wants.
Whatever.
It's whatever. Yeah. It's fun.
Can he time travel?
No. They relied on Owlman, the future version of Owlman's time travel. He could convert himself into information and go into a computer. It's pretty fun, yeah.
Just like in the 90s.
Just like in the 90s, exactly. Precisely.
Got an email here from Alex from Dallas. He said he was sitting in a South American village eating some fish when he was listening
Wait a second. Like bloody Ezra Miller. Ezra Miller. This pretension. Anyway.
Listen, you guys, I realized something. There are too many official titles in the Weekly Planet universe.
Yeah, we know. We're trapped. We're basically married to the concept at this point.
Actually, sorry. His name's Clay Bear. I apologize. No, sorry. This is unrelated. Clay Bear's also Costa Rican. I've just shoehorned in these together.
Oh,
He says that they do have cell phone reception in Costa Rica as well.
So
suck it, Ezra Miller.
Yeah, telling porky pies, this bloke.
But anyway, Alex goes on to say, therefore, I'm launching a massive reboot because everyone loves rebooting shit all the time.
Oh, interesting.
And I'm hereby removing all past official titles. I'm now the official Weekly Planet rebooter. If anyone has a problem with that, then tell... This is really hard when my leg's so sore.
See, there we go. That's what I've been saying. You've taken no drugs.
They tell me to meet them at the AT&T Stadium here in Dallas and we will have a battle to the death. Or not, whatever.
I'm in favour of this.
So, reboot.
We've rebooted
it. No, I'm going to get so many emails.
You're going to get so many emails. Also, he called it. That's the rules. He called it official rebooter. It's fine.
Do you want to call something? You can be the first in.
No, I'm good.
All right.
Let the chips fall where they may. That's what I say.
Did you hear that the actor who plays John Diggle in Arrow?
Yes.
Whose name I can't remember. He's come out and said that they're legitimately thinking of making his character John Diggle Stewart, which means he is John Stewart.
New Green Lantern.
New Green Lantern.
Interesting.
Even though in the comics at the moment there is a John Diggle and there is a John Stewart. They're separate.
Right, okay.
But perhaps in this universe he'll become Green Lantern.
Interesting.
What do you think?
I'm on board with that. I like that guy.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So how do you think that would go with the special effects and whatnot?
I think it'd be the best special effects we've ever seen on television. No, I don't know. That's...
Well, I think it wouldn't be too bad. Just 3D kind of green constructs. They don't have to be super accurate.
Yeah, and I think... Yeah, they wouldn't have to be that elaborate either, nah. I think.
No. Somebody actually sent an email, and I apologize because I can't remember, that they said that the powers are too... He can do too much with them, and they should strip that down. So right, it's more kind of basic stuff.
Well, that's true. I mean, sort of... At the most basic level, Green Lantern's power is that he can make, like, energy constructs from the ring.
Yeah.
But they can sort of do anything. Like, yeah. he can build a machine in his mind that will turn light into sound or whatever kind of thing.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Like, it's
pointless. But...
Yeah, exactly. But it's pointless, but it's also sort of beyond the scope of just, like, building, like, a
And he big doesn't, green box. Like, have to know how that works. He can just do it? Or do you have to be an engineer and whatever and have that knowledge?
I think it goes back and forth. Like, say, if, like, Greenland could make, like, if a villain was coming at him, he could make, like, some sort of, like, oil slick on the ground with the...
With a bucket of oil.
Yeah, with a bucket of oil. But, like, he could and have him trip over on it. So, but if he knew the chemical formula for whatever oil to do that, it would work better, I think.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
So... But anyway, you're right. There are too many.
I didn't say that.
No, you're kind of saying that. Come on, mate.
But I think it's also good to have different Green Arrows good at different things.
Lanterns.
Sorry, but also different Green Arrows.
Yeah, different Green Arrows, yeah. One's good at firing arrows into a tree. One's good at shooting an arrow and then shooting another arrow and it goes through the first arrow in the bullseye.
Correct.
And then he wins the archery competition.
That's right. Did you see the new Atom suit while we're at it?
I did. It looks very Ant-Man-y.
Okay, fair enough.
I think they're just like, we gotta get in this.
Yeah.
We gotta beat Marvel to the punch for one thing, for once. In our miserable lives.
But I've got an email here from Braden Batman.
Oh, yes.
I think it was him that said this also, but I've left this out. I don't think it actually shrinks. Or they haven't mentioned that it shrinks.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
Like, you can shoot stuff and whatever.
Yeah.
He also said that I like the Atom symbol, but the head's a bit much, though. Love the show. Official person named Batman of the show, Braden Batman.
First in. Exactly.
Well done, Braden.
So we haven't had any evidence in the show that it shrinks yet. No.
That's not to say that it won't, but it won't. Or it will.
Huh. Okay, we'll see. I think it'll disappoint people if it won't.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Atom over the years, like, the first Atom didn't shrink. He was just a little guy, a bunch of people.
He was never... What?
The before...
He was always small.
No, he was like 5 feet tall.
Oh, okay.
So there's this Adam.
Right.
Ray Palmer.
Yes.
But before that was another guy whose name I can't remember.
And he was just a small guy.
Just a little guy.
Okay.
But then
like
I think...
Puck?
Sorry?
Like Puck.
Like Puck from Alpha Flight. Yes. Okay. Yes, precisely.
Okay.
But like over the years he got... Like there's also... He had a son called... Who was originally called Nuclon, who had like nuclear powers. Like, he had nuclear-powered punches. He became Atom Smasher. He could also become really big.
But not small.
I think he could also become small. Look, anyway, the point is, they've all had all sorts of...
What is the point?
Well, I don't know what the... But I think the point, like, the Ray Palmer Atom, he harnesses some sort of white dwarf star material to shrink.
Okay.
So maybe he also uses that for, like, real dense punches or something.
Sure. You know,
maybe that's the ability. Imagine. Al Pratt was his name.
Al Pratt.
The original Atom.
Al Pratt.
Yeah. But he had, like, I think he received some sort of radiation treatment in World War II and then he got, like, atomic powers.
Good for him.
Yeah, I know, great.
So what's he up to now? He's probably dead, I guess.
He might still be around. They're all bloody still around.
They're all banging around, aren't they?
Yeah.
Maybe there'd be some kind of atom convergence, like the Spider-Verse, or that other thing we said earlier in the show that I can't remember.
The DC one?
No, I don't know.
Robin, we're Robin.
That's right.
All Robin,
we're all Robins all the
all
time.
All the Robins hanging out being mates.
Kenneth Branagh, it seems, may direct another Marvel movie.
I thought you were going to say he emailed in, but all right.
I wish. I like Kenneth Branagh. Mm-hmm. Do you remember his Frankenstein movie from the 90s?
Nope.
Robert De Niro was Frankenstein?
Nope.
Whatever
you say next isn't going to help me remember it.
Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, it was called.
No.
It was dark.
Oh.
That's it. But anyway, he might direct another Marvel movie. He, of course, did the first Thor.
Mm-hmm.
He says that he's continued to have good relationships with the Marvel family. I fondly remember good times working on Thor, so you always look to repeat that kind of thing, and if it happened again, I'd be delighted.
Mm.
So maybe Thor Ragnarok, people are thinking?
Thor Ragnarok, Frog Thor.
Yep, the Horseman Thor.
Yep, Thunderstrike. 90s Thor.
Girl Thor.
Yep.
But they still haven't revealed the identity of it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, I'd be all for that. Do you think... Because I think Thor 1 is probably better than Thor 2, but it clearly lacks the budget of Thor 2.
I think...
Because they're just like, we'll just set this in a desert.
Yeah, exactly. I enjoy... In Thor 2, I enjoyed a lot more of exploring sort of the weird Masters of the Universe technology that they had.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, you're right, Thor 1... And Thor 2, the entire universe is at stake, blah, blah, but nobody really cares.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, yeah, well, we're just having fun and doing this. But I think, Thor 1 has a lot more weight behind it. And I go, when it was revealed that Kenneth Branagh was going to direct it, I assumed it was going to be very pretentious and not very action-y.
Like Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Precisely, like one of my favorite films of all time that I remember. And, you know, it was going to be very light on the fantasy action and more kind of just like... historical warrior kind of drama thing. But boy, we got some sweet action in
there.
Got
some fun, didn't we?
With the destroyer, we got all kinds of stuff.
It was super cool.
Flips all those cars.
I think it it wasn't the first introduction of Coulson, but it was probably, you saw a lot of him. And it was also, of course, the introduction of Loki. So,
it's
got a lot of things going for it. People sell that movie short or people forget, but that did a lot of good things.
Yeah.
Abs.
Yep. Did great for winged helmets.
Briefly.
Yeah.
He'd bring that back if anyone was going to bring it back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kenneth Branagh.
Bo Branagh.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You know, Nemesis, the cartoon, I mean comic.
The Mark Millar
one.
Sure.
Now, that looks like... There's a few of his stories in the works.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Including Starlight, which is one of his latest ones.
Uh-huh.
Which is kind of a Flash Gordon-esque kind of
thing. Right.
But the Nemesis movie will, according to Millar himself...
Yes.
It could get off the ground depending on how well Kingsman does.
Interesting.
Because they're kind of more in the same vein.
Yes, that's true, yeah.
I mean, they're different, obviously, but just that kind of more kind of in your face, like right in your face.
Oh, I don't know if I like that. No, but I think you're in that they are kind of, they're both sort of larger than life.
Yeah.
Kind of, one spy and one superhero, but they're kind of big hero and villain worlds at stake kind of thing.
Absolutely. You know? Mm-hmm. And very bloody and whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Extreme to the max.
Oh, enough here, though.
Yes.
Hey guys, I just read Nemesis and Superior by Mark Millar, and I was wondering what your thoughts
were
on that.
See, is it just Mark Millar? We should really establish. I'm going to say Mark Millar.
Different people say different things.
What does he say?
Who?
Mark Millar.
I don't know.
We'll find out.
Plus,
because you know David Bowie.
Yeah. He says Bowie?
Yeah, he says Bowie. It's pronounced David Bowie.
Well, his son's name's Zowie.
Zowie Bowie, exactly. Right. Yeah. Well,
Duncan Jones.
He changed that ASAP. Do you think he was... Because he's now... Duncan Jones, director of, you know, Moon and stuff like that. Do you think he was just hanging out for his 18th birthday?
Absolutely,
like,
he was.
People were like, what do you want for your birthday? What present do you want, a car for your birthday? And he's like, I don't. I don't care. I'm just going. 15 I'm going. To the, yeah, I've got 15. I'm going to the Depol office and I'm changing my name the instant I'm able to. Anyway, but yeah, David Bowie.
It's like, amazing that he's not a lunatic, though. I mean, he might be, but by all accounts, he's just like a regular guy.
But yeah, so like he's Bowie. But when people say, "Hey, David Bowie," you know, blah blah blah, your new record, he's like, he never corrects anyone. No, kind of thing.
He's not a dick about it.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, we're gonna find out what Miller says.
Absolutely. Anyway, he was wondering what our thoughts were on Nemesis and Superior. Plus, would you like to see either of them turn into a movie? Thanks, guys. Grab that gem. Now, we've seen...
Kingsman.
Oh, yes. It's not out in the States till next week, so we thought we'll hold off till next week because we pander to our main audience, which is America.
The Americans.
Yeah. Yep. I think it came out the week before us in the UK,
yep.
Then us, then the US.
I'm probably going to see it again before it comes out in the US.
You don't even want to.
No. Just for the power.
But yeah, look, we'll get into...
Suffer in your jocks, America. That's right. That's what we say. We'll I enjoyed it a lot. Just FYI.
That's right. We'll get into that next week.
Yeah.
But we thought, why not this week?
Yes.
And in conjunction with that email, why don't we go through some of Mark Millar's...
Oh, this is going to get painful.
...most kind of famous stories.
Oh, yes.
And kind of... Because there are a lot of comic book writers, obviously.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But he's definitely one of the most well-known.
Right.
And also very divided. He always kind of seems to bring something new to the table, but it doesn't always land.
Right.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, why don't we just...
Maybe it does, though. Like, in certain... Miller... I'm going to say Miller from this point. Yep, you say it. Millar. Okay, we're going to do this?
That's harder.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm going to say Mark Miller for this whole thing. I would say there's probably fans of just who are fans of his.
Sure.
And everything hits, right?
Yeah.
I'd say so.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. And look, I've never read anything of his where I'm like, I really hate this.
Right.
So the stuff that I'm like, yeah, I'm indifferent to or whatever, but that I like less than others or whatever. But it's not the point.
Right, sure.
Let's just get into it. Why don't we start with probably one of his most well-known, Kick-Ass.
Oh, yes.
Have you read all three volumes and the Hit Girl thing?
No, one and two only.
One and two. Yeah. I don't think they're all required reading.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first one is probably...
Well, ultimately, none of them are required reading.
No.
You won't die.
Comics are for nerds.
You're not required by the government to read them or you'll be executed. Certainly not. I mean, yet.
Yeah, we don't know where you're from. So yeah,
maybe that's
if you're
true.
From Costa Rica, that's the rule there.
Mm.
But, yeah.
If only somebody could call and tell us, but they don't have cell phone reception there, so...
But, yeah, what are your thoughts on Kick-Ass?
Mixed.
Okay.
I think it's an interesting take.
Yeah.
I think, though, that it's the idea of, hey, what would happen if superheroes existed in the real world?
Mm.
That's been done a lot.
Sure.
That's been done an extraordinary amount of times.
Yeah.
Like both powered heroes and non-powered heroes. And in real life, because people actually do it now.
Yeah, absolutely.
We should do an episode on real life superheroes. We always say we're going to.
I think you even planned one out. Like
that sound, like a, that like doesn't a, sound
no,
like
I'm,
me.
I'm pretty sure. And we ended up seeing a movie instead.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
So, yeah.
Newsflash, I didn't do any research. Anyway, it's been done a lot. I think there were some really interesting touches to it. But
it's not incredibly real-worldy, though, is it?
No, see, that's the problem with Kick-Ass generally,
yeah,
is that, and this is probably endemic to a lot of his work generally, but he, with Kick-Ass especially, he wanted to have his cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
He wanted to have like, he wanted to be set in a real world where it's this kind of post-ironic world where everybody's too cool for superheroes.
Everyone knows who Spider-Man is.
Yeah, everybody's like, did you,
as if, later Spider-Man, bro, whatever.
Exactly, yeah. And that, and he, they,
and so, whenever he does something, he's like, I'm just like Spider-Man in the comics.
Right, exactly, So it wants to be this self-aware world where people are aware of superheroes and that superheroes are dumb and silly and whatever.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's become a superhero knowing that, you know, knowing the tricks of the trade kind of thing going in. But at the same time, especially in the movie version, so much of it is so sincere and kind of earnest and...
Saccharine?
It is a bit saccharine. It's ultimately incredibly brutal, but also very saccharine.
All saccharine.
Oh, there we go. That's the Mark Millar we know and love. But like...
You say Millar.
I just say Millar.
If you say Millar, we're swapping.
Oh, we got to switch. Okay, all right. I'll remember that. Yeah, so in the... Especially in Kick-Ass 2,
You're talking the movie here.
The movie, yeah. In Kick-Ass 2... It is a lot of post-ironic, like, hey, what about, Spider-Man, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, about every 20 minutes, there's like somebody does a really earnest speech and it's all like, oh, I've got to be who I am. And then it's like, but your father said before he died, he said you couldn't do that. And it's like, well, maybe that's not who I am anymore kind of thing with the stirring music over the top. And I'm like, nobody talks like that in the real world.
Yeah.
If you want this to be the real world, you know, take it one or the other. But I guess it's...
Don't put a jetpack in it.
Yeah, exactly. I think I get the sense that Miller wanted it to be, you know, more post-ironic and kind of cool, too cool for school kind of thing. But the studios were like, well, we have to put in some standard superhero-y movie kind of tropes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not going to sell.
Yeah.
People aren't going to be happy with
it. Otherwise, it's going to be James Gunn's super.
Yeah. So we've got to put in, you know, we've got to put in the stirring speeches and we've got to put in the jetpack with the machine guns on it.
So
a lot of the kind of the meta takes of it have been removed especially from the original. There's the first movie. There's in the first comic book series of Kick-Ass, Hit Girl is the son of Big Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
This is the daughter of Big Daddy. I'm very sorry. That was weird. but she's the daughter, and they have become superheroes, we are told, because her mother was murdered when she was very young, and they've gone on the run to, you know, to fight crime, blah, blah. Big Daddy's paying for, you know, all the equipment to fight the bad guys because of this mysterious case that he's carrying around. And we're supposed to wonder, is it drugs or is it, you know, some sort of mysterious super value? Is it artwork? Is it some sort of super valuable, whatever? But then it's revealed that it's comic books. And then it's... Spoiler alert, by the way.
That's fine. We're spoiling all of these.
Oh, yeah. Suck it, Miller.
Yeah. We're swapping.
Nope, I said Miller. Anyway. and that he was never, you know, it was like that he was a cop and his wife was murdered for revenge. But it's revealed that he was never a cop. He was just an accountant.
Yeah.
And his wife left him because he was boring.
Yeah.
And he just had a comic book collection. And he's decided to go and spend all his money, you know, sell all these comic books just to give his daughter an exciting world to live in kind of thing.
Because he's crazy.
Because he's crazy. Because he's properly crazy.
But they obviously changed.
But in the movies, they're like, well, we can't have him be properly crazy, despite the fact that he's being played by Nicolas Cage, who is properly crazy.
He's really good in that too.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, he's one of his best performances, I think. So we will have to actually make him a cop whose wife was murdered.
I was really surprised by that because I thought the twist was going to be, again, that he wasn't a cop. Which I was kind of disappointed by because I think that makes him way more interesting.
Me too, yeah.
But like you said, I guess you can't really...
I've never looked into that. I would like to hear an interview with Miller.
Yeah.
You know, where... In fact, let's write that down. When we do our interview with Miller, which will be never, because we're going to bag out a lot of his work right now, and if he ever hears this, he'll be upset. He'll never hear it. But, you know, I'd like to hear whether, you know, they put their foot down and said, we need a more standard superhero kind of movie.
Okay. Sure.
Let's make a note of it.
Let's make a note.
Somebody email him in. Somebody tweet at him. Does he have Twitter? I want to assume so.
Look, I think that the comics are in general, they're okay.
Yep.
I think that the first one's, you know, probably worth a read. But I think you get the gist after the first one. If it's something you're interested in, you could continue with all the whatever.
I find Kick-Ass 2 just... unpleasant generally. What happens in 3? And there's a Hit Girl special.
Three is... That's much of the same.
Great.
Yeah, I can't remember, to be honest. But it's also implied in Volume 3 that Dave, the main guy, has been in a coma the whole time.
That first mugging,
and where he's hit by the car, that he never woke up from that.
Okay, right.
Which
sure.
would explain a lot.
Mm.
So, yeah. But anyway.
But again, that's... What a post-ironic twist.
All right.
It was all a dream. But was it all a dream?
Let's pick something you'll love then.
Okay, I'm ready.
Wanted. I don't know what you think of this.
I quite like Wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of it's a bit off.
Yeah. Like, I think I've talked about this before. There's a scene in particular where he talks about how he raped an A-list celebrity.
Right, yeah.
And it's just so casual.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of... And I guess the point is that it's supposed to be kind of shocking and in your face and whatever.
Uh-huh.
But it was... To me, I'm like, you didn't...
Unnecessary, yeah. There's a lot,
and that's the main guy in it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
protagonist, for lack of a better word.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, this is, in a lot of cases, I think Mark Miller's main problem is that he's very much a proponent of, well, it's art, and I can say whatever I want.
Yeah,
and if you can't handle it, you just got to deal with it. Shut your face, because I'll do whatever I want, kind of thing. And he was on Top Cow, which is a Image imprint, so it's kind of creator owned. So DC or Marvel couldn't tell him what to do, kind of thing. Yeah. Blah blah blah. So he was like, "I'll say whatever I want."
I'll just draw Eminem and Halle Berry.
I'll just yeah. Well, that was yeah.
Well, not that he drew them. But yeah, the main guy is clearly Eminem.
Yes, exactly.
The lead is clearly Halle Berry.
Yeah.
I also think that movie completely missed everything that's good about that comic as well. Because I think there is a lot of good stuff in that comic. Right.
So for those who haven't read Wanted, the comic, and maybe you've seen the movie, or vice versa,
yeah.
Wanted is about a guy who looks exactly like Eminem, and he's like a cubicle drone in an office, and nothing works out for him.
Yeah.
But then it is revealed that he is the son of a supervillain who has sort of, you know, unerring accuracy. Like he's a...
Yeah.
Kind of,
he's the world's best assassin.
He's the world's best assassin with the world's greatest shot kind of thing.
Yeah.
And this guy discovers that, A, he has that power as well, and B, that this used to be a world like a kind of a superhero, supervillain world, like a comic book world.
Fleeting glimpses of like Spider-Man's boots and Superman's cape and all that kind of stuff.
And the idea being that it used to be kind of a fun comic booky kind of world, like where amazing things happened, but... Eventually, one day, the supervillains killed all the heroes in a massive battle and then combined their powers and sort of altered reality so nobody remembers.
Yeah.
And so the world is kind of dreary and boring. So it's like, you know, it's quote-unquote our world. Yeah. Like, it's our world and, you know, everybody works in an office and it's boring and dull and kind of thing.
It's very much like The Matrix in the way that then he's kind of told he's the best guy in the world. And he lives in this amazing world and he's got all the powers.
And he can do anything he wants. He's got a card or whatever and you know, the police can't stop him or anything like that. And the idea being that the central narrative of the book is... There's two factions of villains, one of which who wants to sort of remain undetected in the world, and one group who wants to, you know, make it known that they exist and kind of rule the world openly.
Yeah.
But the fear being that there are, you know, superheroes from alternate realities who would come in and try and stop them, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and I think a lot of that is really interesting.
Mm.
Like, you know, it's probably quite derivative of The Matrix in that way. But most stuff, The Matrix is quite derivative of a lot of other stuff, so it's not really, you know.
One thing in particular, what was that?
The Invisibles. The Invisibles,
that's a story for another day.
Boy, isn't it? But yeah, like, I think that was good, and I think there's, you know, there's funny kind of parallels to a lot of Marvel and DC heroes, like a lot of parodies and homages and stuff like that. Like, and, you know...
It's a lot of fun, like it is.
Except for the rape stuff.
Except for the rape stuff.
Which is no fun.
Yeah, exactly. But the hero doesn't really learn anything. And not everybody has to learn anything, but it just turns out in the end that I like doing whatever I want.
Yeah, exactly.
The end.
And then the movie essentially stripped away all the superhero stuff.
Yes.
And said, look, instead of this guy being the son of this, you know, incredibly accurate assassin and they're the only two who can do that.
Yeah.
That's the one power in that universe is you can have
incredible kind of... I barely remember.
It
came out like a month before The Dark Knight.
So basically it turned out that instead of it all being individual villains, the power in this universe is some people have such incredible focus that they can sort of curve bullets and do stuff like that. But there are no, you know, time travelers or super strength guys or anything like that.
It's just a group of assassins.
It's a group of assassins.
Who get their orders from a magic loom.
A magic loom, precisely, yeah. Yeah. So that's pretty good, right?
Not really.
No, it's no good.
It's just not that interesting. Mm. And it's a shame because it's really well cast.
Yeah, yeah.
Like James McAvoy. Like everyone's good in it. And Chris Pratt's in it as well, weirdly.
Is he really?
He's his office co-worker.
Oh, yeah, he is too. Okay. Was he fatter? Is that...
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
That makes sense.
But I think...
I was thinking of Chris Pine.
He's in it too. No, he's not.
No,
he's behind Chris Pratt.
Oh, Can't see him.
But yeah, it's not a very good movie. I think it could have worked if they said this isn't Wanted, and maybe that's marred that because I'd read Wanted before this.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, like it's just not great. Apparently the video game though is not bad, or it wasn't for the time. Wasn't bad for the time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, who knows?
That's what it says in the box. This isn't bad for the time.
Which is
Game Informer. Yeah.
You read Super Crooks?
Yes.
I haven't read it at all.
It's fun.
Do tell.
It's a fun little heist thing.
Okay.
It's
the one where all the criminals are going to disappear or something?
No, you're thinking of The Last
Real
Days
Life
of American Crime.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
You're thinking of The Last Days of American Crime, which is a book by Rick Remender, who's doing some stuff with DC now, I think. Maybe he's part of that new line of books that we've been talking about.
He's in the reboot.
Yeah, he's... Oh, boy, is he in the reboot. Yeah, the Super Crooks is I think it's Marvel, maybe. But anyway, Last Days of American Crime is a book by Rick Remender, and it's basically about how... We've probably talked about this 10 times in the podcast. Doesn't matter. Go back to it. Anyway, there's a point that the US is building a device that will prevent people from committing crimes, and so a bunch of guys have to get together and...
It's a gun.
Yeah, it's a real big gun. Don't walk in front of it if you're a crook, because they will shoot you.
Yeah. And they have to pull off the last big kind of...
The last big heist and to set themselves up for life kind of thing.
Great.
But Super Crooks is basically, it's essentially the same thing. It's we've got to do one last heist.
Mm.
We'll do the one big score and then we'll get out of there. And it's basically, a guy who has to round up the old teammates who don't want a bar of him because he screwed them all the last time.
Yeah.
And...
He does? Do that?
Yeah, he does do that, yeah. Okay. I'd
imagine there's a few twists and turns along the way and whatever.
Some people have, people owe money to the mob kind of thing, and...
Like an angry mob of people?
No, the mob.
Oh!
I mean, they're pretty angry, ultimately. But, there's a young guy, and there's a guy called The Heat, and he's kind of sort of an older villain, and he owes a lot of money to the mob. And
is there no superpowers in this world?
No, there are.
Okay.
There's tons. It's great.
Super Crooks, makes sense.
Super Crooks, precisely. It's not called Crooks. Anyway, and so Johnny Bolt is this young villain who's like, well, I've got to help out this old guy. He's, I'm his biggest fan kind of thing. And so they sort of get together, they go to Spain, and they're going to rob another supervillain, the big bad guy.
Yeah.
And, robbing blind kind of thing.
And they do or don't.
Oh, wouldn't want to spoil it. Yeah.
Yeah, don't. I want to read that.
Yeah, it looks really good. Here's the thing. Mark Miller, I think, works best with a really good artist.
Sure. Like
a really kind of dynamic artist. And with Super Crooks, he's working with Lionel Francis Yu, who is, I think, fantastic. He's one of my favorite artists of all the time.
Of all artists?
Well, all of comic book artists.
What about Rolf Harris?
Ooh.
What a piece of shit.
But yeah, it's I think it's fantastic art. There's some twists and turns along the way.
Great.
It's
good how many issues, roughly?
I want to say 6.
You do, don't you?
Yeah.
But you're not going to.
No, because maybe it's 5 or 4 or 8.
Yeah,
I think it's 6.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You read Jupiter's Legacy?
No, what is it?
It's basically in the 30s or 40s. I can't remember. Actually,
this is the latest thing?
It's latest-ish, yeah.
Right.
Basically, a group of... just regular humans come across this mysterious...
Oh, yeah, we're regular humans.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they're all imbued...
So this could happen to us.
Definitely. And they're all imbued with these powers.
Oh, yes.
And basically, it doesn't really follow them so much. It's more their children.
Mm-hmm.
And so flash forward to the present day, and the kids are like, Generation Y, we hate everything.
Yeah, sure.
We don't want to be heroes and whatever.
Uh-huh.
There's been one volume, so it's still going.
Uh-huh.
It's a decent read. It's a lot of, looking at society today and
who's
on Twitter and who's a socialite.
Yeah. Who's glued to their phones.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, okay, sure.
But, it's fine. And I like stories with these kind of old school kind of legacy heroes, not necessarily who are famous, but I like those kind of superheroes, which I think is why, what am I going to talk about in a minute? Starlet, which I enjoy kind of Starlight for that same reason. It's not complete, so I can't really judge it.
Don't judge it.
But yeah, it's fine.
Thumbs up or down right now.
It's fine. You could read it.
I will.
Done.
Great.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read his run on Swamp Thing?
No.
Me neither. Let's skip that.
Skip that.
Superman Red Sun.
Oh, yes.
I like that a lot.
One of my faves. Yeah.
It's really good.
And see, that's I think, sometimes you're like, well, this is what an artist, this is what a writer can do when he's, he's not tied down to the man and corporations
exactly.
and blah, blah, blah.
And
this is what he does when people put their foot down and say, hey... Stop making all your characters the worst all the time.
He gave it a bit of a shot in this, though.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Red Sun is amazing.
Uh-huh.
It's set in a world where Superman lands in the Soviet Union.
Yeah, instead of Kansas.
Instead of Kansas,
mm-hmm.
The fictional town.
Yeah, yeah,
from The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah,
as if
it's real.
And then as a result of that, he grows up being communist and, he's not married to Lois Lane and he forms a working relationship with Wonder Woman, who's also Russian. He goes up against Russian Batman, who's not Bruce Wayne.
Yep.
And it's never said who it is specifically. Yeah. He's just kind of this orphan
But he's
boy.
Always rushing around, isn't he?
Isn't he?
Isn't he?
Well, he has to. Cause
yeah, because otherwise he'd be killed by Superman. Yeah.
But it's got a great Batman.
We see Brainiac. We see
Brainiac.
We see the green Green Lantern Corps of sorts.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's really exciting.
Yeah.
It's good. It's do you ever read the Captain the Superman Britain one? Wasn't there a John Cleese?
Oh, John Cleese wrote one. It was called
I haven't read it.
Yeah, I have. It's not very good. Yeah. It's not good.
Yeah.
Like it's I really like John Cleese. Like he's produced some phenomenal stuff over the years.
Yeah.
Monty Python especially. But I
Airplugs.
Yep. Sure boy.
Oh yeah, I agree. He's really good.
I don't think he translates the comic books.
No, I agree.
I can't remember what it's called, but yeah, it's British Superman. Like that's a one note joke.
Yeah, it is.
He changes in a phone booth, but it looks like Doctor Who's phone booth or whatever. You know, that's the joke. That's it. That's the whole thing.
That's
right?
The whole thing.
Yeah,
yeah. But it's probably regarded as one of the best Superman stories. Would you agree with that? It's an Elseworlds story, obviously. But I enjoy it quite a lot.
And it's also good because it's got the Superman versus Lex Luthor dynamic. But it's. You know, Superman is in the Soviet Union and Lex Luthor is the American sort of think tank. He's the, like a one-man think tank whose mission is to stop the Soviet Union and stop Superman at the same time.
And initially...
And does he? Who knows?
But initially he's like, he's all about fixing the economy and creating renewable energy and building up the US and kind of keeping it a step ahead. Uh-huh. But then he just gets this fixation with Superman.
Right.
And it kind of... Because he starts off... As the hero, almost, you'd say. Uh-huh. And it just kind of sort of drives him mad. Not as mad as he has been in other things.
Yep.
But his obsession, like it does with every other version of Lex Luthor, kind of takes over everything else. Mm-hmm. And he could save the world, but he just doesn't because he's so obsessed with stopping Superman. Yeah.
Mm, real
it's,
good.
It's pretty good.
You know, my favorite part about researching the work of Mark Miller...
Wikipedia.
Look, he's always wearing the same shirt.
He's wearing a checkered shirt.
Popping the Jupiter's lip. Checkered shirt. Different angle. Wanted. There he is. His checkered shirt. He's having a bit of a joke with somebody there. I think.
Yeah.
It's just an ad for Amazon. It's not. He's not in that.
But anyway, you were looking for that checkered shirt on Amazon.
Yeah, I was,
yeah. Did you read American Jesus?
Maybe. Hang on. Let me think.
I've got a digital copy of it, but I haven't read it yet. So.
Oh, is it new?
I don't think it's not new. It's not as new as say a newborn baby who's just born.
Then no, I don't think I've read. I've read a lot of those ones where it's you know is it one of the ones where it's the new? Is it the second coming of Jesus?
Something like that.
Read a lot of that sort of stuff. Yeah, yeah.
The Bible.
Yeah, the Bible. I read that. Maybe I did read a. Is the one where it turns out he was Satan all along?
I don't know.
He was the Antichrist in the end?
I don't know.
I can't remember. It doesn't matter.
Thanks for spoiling it, maybe.
Yeah. Look, I haven't read it. When you sort of get into a particular creator, you do find that there's, especially if they've been established a while, there's this huge backlog of like weird, obscure bits and pieces.
Well, yeah, I've kind of picked out the main ones.
Yeah.
Kind of
like Warren Ellis has just a huge backlog of stuff like that.
Yeah.
And even weird like black and white indie stuff and things like that.
Absolutely.
So you just...
Yeah.
Goes forever.
Doesn't go forever.
Not forever, obviously. No. It's just all right. Probably read it all.
Let's quickly read the American Jesus Wikipedia synopsis and then we'll judge it.
Yep.
No. Look, I've got the Secret Service here, but we'll probably talk about that more next week when we talk about the...
We can talk about it a little now.
Okay.
We're hurting for, content.
We have talked about it quite a bit
recently.
It's okay.
Uh-huh.
The idea is better than the execution.
Yes.
The movie's better.
The movie is so much better.
Yeah.
The movie looks better. It's got more detail.
Yep.
Again, I think I've said this. I like
the characters are more likable.
So and it's Miller and it's Dave Gibbons, author, illustrator of Watchmen, as the artist. And I really like Dave Gibbons when he's drawing, say, the Watchmen characters,
sure,
because they're very distinctive and makes a great look. But I don't know what it is in particular, but with the Secret Service, all his characters look exactly the same.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
and maybe that's a conscious decision.
I don't think it is. Yeah. Well, maybe like in, and this isn't spoiling anything, but. In Kingsman, the movie, Colin Firth's character and sort of his protege.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch the trailer, you can see at certain points they kind of look...
Similar.
Quite similar. They're wearing the same sort of dark pinstripe suit and the, you know, the square frame glasses and the slicked hair and stuff like that. You know, and without spoiling it, in that movie, it's sort of, you know, the younger guy, he's done it sort of as an homage to Colin Firth because he's the, you know, he's the protege and Colin Firth's the... The guy.
The big man.
Yeah, he's the big man, and it's kind of a deliberate thing, you know. But in this, in the comic book version, they just sort of look like the same character.
Yeah, they do, yeah. And they're related in the comic, though.
Yeah.
So maybe that's something to do with it.
Yeah, but...
Also, he's more of a dick in the comic.
Yes,
but everybody is.
Yeah.
But, because what I really like about that movie, there's a set of rules that the Kingsmen live by.
Uh-huh.
And they don't expressly state it, but one of them's like, whenever you're talking to anybody, you act like they're the most important person in the world, and interesting. You know, you ignore rudeness and whatever.
Right,
there's this list of things, and that makes them way more interesting. But in the comic, he's just kind of a dick.
Yep.
And because he's not a classist kind of guy, uh-huh. but he's just kind of an asshole.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, we'll get into it next.
Man, week. I can't wait to talk about Kingsman.
Yeah.
The movie. Yeah.
All right. Starlight, that Flash Gordon-esque thing.
Oh yes.
Which they're making a movie of, apparently. I wonder who they're going to get to play like the main guy.
Are you fishing for that role? Great.
Yeah. You need like a big kind of hulking old man. I'm trying to think who you could get. I don't know. I was going to say Mickey Rourke, but no, that's not a good idea.
Maybe it is, though.
Maybe it is, Mason.
But what about Dave Bautista?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. I haven't seen any of this comic, so I don't know what you're talking about.
John Hamm in like 20 years.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Sure.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Look up a picture while I faff about.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it's basically this guy on Earth, uh-huh. regular Earth and whatever.
Uh-huh.
And when he was younger, yep. in his kind of mid to late, around 30, let's say,
yep.
he's whisked away to this faraway planet,
uh-huh.
and he becomes the savior of this world.
Oh yeah.
And he's like the hero in his renown, and he's gone on all these amazing...
Boy, this does look very Flash Gordon.
It is very Flash Gordon.
This is astoundingly Flash Gordon.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Like, why hasn't he been sued for
it's
this?
It's basically if Flash Gordon got old.
Okay, right.
So basically...
There's even a Ming the Merciless kind of villain
there
here.
Yeah, there is. So he comes, but he's just a man. He's got no powers. He's got a cutlass, and yep. he's got a blaster occasionally.
Right.
And he comes back to Earth. And nobody believes that he's done these amazing things.
Right.
So he's just heralded as this lunatic.
Yep.
He came back because of his wife. He had like proposals from various princesses.
Oh,
and
sure, absolutely.
And he could have ruled and whatever, yep. but he decides not to. So he lives on Earth for 30, 40 years or whatever. His family don't believe him except for his wife.
Uh-huh.
And after his wife dies and he's kind of lost and his sons aren't returning his calls and whatever, uh-huh. a rocket ship lands and it's his kid who's idolized him growing up,
sure, uh-huh.
not having met him,
right,
and says, "Listen, we've been invaded again. You need to come back." And he's like, "This isn't really no, what, no, like I'm
right,
not
sure." Uh-huh.
But anyway, he eventually ends up going back, and it's just this kind of. I thought it would take more of a kind of a dark twist, and it doesn't. It's just like a Flash Gordon-esque romp, and
it's
about inspiring hope and uh-huh. getting the people to uprise against the
sure.
being the merciless. I mean, whoever he's called,
sure, yes,
it's you know it. It's very straightforward.
Okay, cool.
But it's cool.
Looks kind of fun. All right,
yeah.
I'm on board.
All right. I think it will make a good movie. I'm still trying to think who they could cast, though.
Maybe
the original Flash Gordon.
Yeah, what's his face?
The guy from Ted, your favourite movie.
Oh, yeah, that guy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know his name. He's in Ted.
Yeah.
You remember, right?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. I can't think of anybody who he'd cast. Mm. I'd say Clint Eastwood if he was 20 years younger.
Wow, okay.
If he was 20 years younger.
Yeah, no, Ham would definitely work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Well, I mean, he doesn't even... He wouldn't necessarily have to be 60.
No.
You could make him 45.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know. Old Man Logan. We've talked about this quite a bit.
Boy, have we, yeah. It's one of your favourites.
It's one of my favourite stories uh-huh. about Wolverine.
Sure.
No, it's good. Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, I really, really enjoy it. It's a once-off.
Yep.
If you know...
Isn't there a sequel?
There will be, apparently.
Right, okay, yeah.
What's good about it, I think, if you've even only seen the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you can hand that to somebody uh-huh. and they can understand it.
And this is set in a future
yep.
where... Give me some information.
It's just set in the future.
And it's sort of a post-apocalyptic future.
Yeah, it is.
And the America's been divided into various...
All the superheroes are dead like everything else.
Yeah, great. And it's been divided... America's been divided in a lot
yeah.
of different
like Red Skull
sectors.
Has Washington.
So
and,
all the villains and like
yeah.
there's some children of the Hulk who
yeah.
control one section.
Yeah,
and things like
where
that.
Wolverine lives and because of a certain action that he took when the villains were taking over, he no longer fights, he's a pacifist.
Right, okay.
But he's kind of dragged into this one last mission with Hawkeye, who's now blind.
Right.
And the only reason that Hawkeye wasn't killed along with every other villain is that they don't think anything of him.
Right, he's not
and
a threat.
They just underestimate him basically. Uh-huh. And so he tasks Wolverine and himself, because Wolverine's in debt, to take this particular package across the country
uh-huh.
for money or whatever.
Yep.
And it's something to do with restarting the Avengers and whatever.
Okay,
but Wolverine
sure.
doesn't want to borrow it and
uh-huh.
whatever. It's got a whole lot of classic villains and not
yep.
a lot of heroes, obviously, because they're mostly dead
oh, yeah.
or crazy. But there's like not a lot of nods to kind of things as you go along. Like they travel in the spider car.
Oh, yeah.
Which is cool. What else is there? You see like a giant Loki skeleton at one point. They come across Emma Frost and she's still young, but it's because she's, you know, using her mind to make herself look that way. And he has this amazing showdown with a Red Skull at the end, which is great. Ooh. Have you read it?
No.
Really?
I read the first two issues, I think.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I would recommend.
It's on my list.
I actually got a copy. You want to borrow it?
Yes.
Too bad.
Wait a minute. Wow.
Yeah. Most of my stuff's digital, but I got like a shelf and that's...
Oh, I've seen your shelf. On there. Yeah.
Not a massive... It's not a long box, is it?
It's not. Definitely not. So you're not a true comic book fan.
No.
Yep.
Nemesis, though, which they might make into a movie. It's basically if Batman was the Joker. That was kind of the tagline.
Yeah, that's very much so. The premise being that there's only one superpowered being. Well, he's not superpowered, but he's the world has one sort of larger-than-life Batman-esque character, but he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
And what he's doing is he's going around the world to various different countries and he's challenging the premier lawman of every country to a battle to the death.
Yeah.
And he presents them with a card that says the exact date and time of their death.
Yeah.
And then he follows through.
Yeah.
And now at the beginning of the series, he's come to America and he's going to challenge, like it's his first time in America and he's going to challenge this super cop.
Yeah.
America's super cop to a battle to the death.
Absolutely.
And again, it's Lionel Yu as the
a lot of blood.
So much blood, but it looks great.
Yeah. And the great thing is like...
The design's great, I think.
The design
he's
is
all
great.
White.
Yeah, he's basically Batman without the ears and he's completely white. Because he just has no fear and everything is just so well planned out that he has... That he's completely confident in his own abilities.
Yeah, and he's a martial arts expert and he's a genius and all sorts of stuff.
And it's got a neat little twist at the end as well.
Yeah, which we won't spoil.
Which will lead into another...
Nemesis 2.
Nemesis
maybe,
2.
Yeah.
But the movie they're talking about, they've mentioned maybe Liam Neeson as the detective, which I guess could work.
Oh, yeah, no, that definitely works.
Brad Pitt. I reckon Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, okay, cool, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Tom Berenger,
sure, from Sniper, not American Sniper, just regular Sniper, non-denominational Sniper.
Yeah, I'd love to see that movie. And I've wanted, I think, the strength of that comic is definitely the art. Like, the story is interesting, but it looks incredible. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I might read that tonight, actually. Do you have a copy?
No.
I'll check my shelf.
Check, it's probably on the shelf.
Anything else to say about that? I've got one more, and then we can watch what we read and...
No, I really enjoy Nemesis.
Yeah.
Again, there's some weird bits.
Yeah.
There's some bits where he's like, I'm going to make this bizarre thing happen. This horrible thing just because I can't.
Yeah, you're right. But still.
Yeah, it could be worse. Boy.
I think this is actually my favourite story of his. Superior.
Yeah, okay.
You read Superior?
I have read Superior.
Yeah, so basically for those...
Lionel Yu again, great art.
Yeah, it is. It's in a world where superheroes do not exist and all of that. There's a boy who's got... cerebral palsy, I think so.
Yeah.
And he was this kind of, you know, he was this pretty promising athlete. He's probably 13, 14 years old. And then he's restricted to a wheelchair. And then this monkey shows up, this magic space monkey
and in says, a little astronaut space suit.
Any wish that you want. And he wishes to be his idol, which is Superior, who is this fictional Superman-esque character. He's kind of Superman, Captain Marvel kind of combination. Because he's got both magic and kind of... powers and whatever, and it's what he kind of chooses to do with that. And there's like a Lois Lane-esque kind of woman also, and he's got the you know, he's kind of got this kid best friend, and initially they're really excited about all the stuff that he can do, and they can buy beer and whatever. But of course, with the deal, it's not what you you think it is, or what it initially appears to be, and it culminates in this showdown at the end, which is incredible, and it's really. It's quite heartfelt, the whole thing, which is odd for a...
Yeah,
and
for Miller.
Yeah, for Miller.
Millar.
Yeah, for Miller. Mm. and it is dedicated to Christopher Reeve. It says that end.
Uh-huh.
I would definitely... Of all, I think it's not for everybody because it is, like I said, it is very kind of heartfelt and whatever, but it's probably my favorite story of his for that reason.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And like you said, art.
Art is good. Art is good.
Yeah. Any others on that list?
Yeah. And so we want John Hamm for that role.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Why would you not just cast John Hamm?
In everything.
Yeah. And it's what's great about it as well. He looks exactly like the movie version of Superior. So the actor who plays him also is in this comic and is being harassed if he is this guy keeps turning up and whatever. And then that actor also plays a kind of pivotal role towards the end. He kind of steps up.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's quite good.
So I would think you could get, maybe you get John Hamm or whoever.
You get Sam Rockwell.
Yeah. Well, you can get John Hamm as the actor who portrays Superior, and then when you get him also playing Superior, you could CGI him up a bit, so he looks kind of...
I think we've talked about that.
We have, sort of probably many times on the show.
Just a little bit of sparkle to him.
Yeah, a little bit of sparkle, yeah.
Definitely. Or just a tan.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But no, that's a great book, and if anything, that's what you make. That's what I want to see in the movie. Yeah. Because, I don't know, I think it'd be amazing if that became, like, the first truly great modern Superman movie. Like, if they made it without Superman. Because I think he could with that.
Mm.
And, like, I like Man of Steel, it's fine. But he's not very Superman for a lot of it, is he?
No, true.
Yeah.
Mm.
All right. Any other on the list while we're listing things?
Oh, it's another episode where we list things. I love it. People love it when we list things. We should have done an episode on things you missed while reading Mark Miller. Because people love those when you do your little videos.
They do love them. Mm-hmm. If you could pick one out of this list or any comic ever that people should read, what would it be?
I like Nemesis.
Sure.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Nemesis is my number one, I think.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Nemesis, Superior.
Mm-hmm.
Choose your side. Pick your poison if you
will. Oh, yes.
All right. We know what it's time for then.
What is it time for?
What we reading?
Oh, what we going to read.
I'm doing a thing.
What are we reading today? Yeah.
All right.
Great.
What are you reading?
You go first. I haven't thought of one.
All right. Well, you can read Old Man Logan.
Okay, I'll read that.
I'll literally give it to you.
Nice. Problem solved.
Yeah. Superman Earth 1. You know, that kind of standalone Superman series. There's been two volumes. The third one's just come out. So there's been three volumes, really.
Uh-huh.
In a way.
Oh, yeah. I can count things.
Yeah. And it's not amazing, but I like different takes on Superman, and he's kind of a bit more angsty and whatever. And it's standalone. There's also a Batman Earth 1, which people kind of like, sort of, also.
Sure.
And it's the conclusion of this Superman story. If you read the first one of this, the first one, I think it's in the first volume, and you watch Man of Steel, they're very similar.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So would you be interested in reading volume 3, or are you just like, eh? Or you're like, meh.
Not give a crap.
Superman's got a new power.
Yeah, oh yeah.
The power to heal. Broken hearts.
Oh.
With a solar flare.
Oh my gosh. Brutal.
Yeah, so that's what I'm going to read.
Okay, well, I am going to read Old Man Logan then.
Yes, you are.
Just to get you to shut up for 5 minutes.
We've got a letter here.
Oh, yes.
The official poor man's anything of the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So should anyone be unable to fulfill their duties as an official whatever of the podcast, I will fill in as the poor man's version of
that.
Oh,
that's fantastic. That's great. Good work. He's the understudy.
Yes.
Yeah, great.
What I've been reading lately enjoying is the new run of Ant-Man. And please find attached probably the best panel in the whole comic book where Ant-Man discovers Mason's Nazi gold. I don't have it in front of me, but there's just a picture of Ant-Man. He's just going, Nazi gold!
Nice.
Well, that's pretty good. I would also like to recommend... That's good, by the way, the new Ant-Man run. Or the two that they've been. It's pretty funny. I would also like to recommend a superhero anime called Tiger and Bunny. It's a combination of Mystery Men, complete with corporate sponsorship, X-Men, Justice League, Avengers, reality TV, and just about every buddy cop film you've ever seen. It's a fun take on two superheroes with some diverse and colourful characters. Strongly recommend you watch it. If you can find it, come to my house. Bring beer. Oh, sorry. If you can't find it, come to my house. Bring beer. P.S. First one to give me a shout out is not a dickhead.
Shut up.
Yes.
You're a dickhead.
I blame my uncle.
I know, right?
My uncle, I said.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't expect you to blame me. How's that holding up, by the way?
That's fine.
Is it?
No, really. It cracked pretty loud when I went down.
I can't imagine. It's happened to me. I do not envy you at all. Ever. I was going to say, listeners, long-time listeners may know that I enjoy people sending in incongruous DVD packs because you'll be going to the Blockbuster or the DVD set. They don't have Blockbusters anymore. They all went out of business. What are you talking about? But you go to like the Walmart or whatever, and you're looking through the DVD packs, and there's like DVD 3-pack, and it'll be like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, Gattaca.
Yeah.
You're like, how did that happen? Kind of thing. I like those. So people send them in from time to time.
Yeah.
Got a couple of good ones this week. Eric Milne sent in this one. It's a 3-pack. It's, again, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, so that's a good start. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, Spaceballs. It's a good combination.
What's the tagline at the top? Is there anything? Is it just say movies?
DVD 3-pack.
That's it. I guess it is.
Yeah, I mean, they're not lying, certainly. But that's a good combination.
So people should hit you up on Twitter if they've got those, eh?
Oh, yeah. Take a photo, send it to me.
At Wikipedia Brown.
At Wikipedia Brown.
Don't email them. Send it to him because they'll more likely get
through. Yeah. He's the winner of the week. He was sent to me on Snapchat, actually.
In any other week, they would have won individually, but now,
Patrick Meats. Yeah. Probably not his real name on
Snapchat.
What's
your Snapchat? You going to tell people again?
No, I don't like the. Look, it was a good experiment. Go back and listen at some point in the episode. Like 20 episodes ago, I tell people my Snapchat, but I can't respond to them all. And there's so many. I can't even watch them all because there's so many of them. But yeah, send me a Snapchat. I probably won't.
You have my sympathy.
Thank you. But anyway, he sent me this one today. It's the 2005 Michael Keaton supernatural thriller movie White Noise.
Oh yeah.
The straight-to-video sequel. So it's kind of a horror, supernatural horror film.
Yep.
The straight-to-video sequel White Noise, The Light, right? Which is not, presumably not as good. Third movie, Snakes on a Plane. Great, right?
What's it say? Does it just say three movies?
Just says movies. It says deluxe movies.
Yeah, I guess
they are. In many ways, they are deluxe movies, aren't they?
All right, letters. It's time for letters.
Oh, yes.
Hey, guys. Love the podcast.
Oh,
it brightens my
good letter.
Yeah, it brightens my otherwise dismal drive to work every Monday. Keep up the great work, and thanks for everything you do. Mason.
Hello.
Have you started Game of Thrones yet?
Nope.
Season 5.
Oh, yes.
Starts April 12th. I don't know how many episodes that is a day. You do the math.
Maths. That's what we say. Now, also, I've got a week off in like 3 weeks' time. I'm going
to
watch
it. You have to watch it because I want to do an episode.
Fine,
I'll talk about it.
All right, fine.
You know what? There's been a lot of people writing in and they throw that in. Aiden Boardman wrote in. He mentioned that. But I've got one here from Caleb that says, Mason is right not to bother with Game of Thrones.
Ooh,
I tried watching the first season and it's garbage.
Wow.
So, I'll let you decide.
Just for the record, I haven't watched Game of Thrones. I'm not saying it is garbage. I was entertained by the 3 episodes I watched. I just don't have a lot of time. It's one of those things. It's like Supernatural.
Yeah.
I watched a few episodes of that. It's entertaining, but there's 10 years worth now or something.
You know, I like watching Supernatural because I don't have to talk about it or remember anything about it.
Oh, sure.
So, like, yeah. So, I watch it every week. If I've got a bank of things to watch, like I've got Arrow, the Flash.
So, if we did a Supernatural special, that would be upsetting for you.
No, look, I could definitely talk about it, but I don't feel the pressure.
Yeah.
Oh, the gorilla turned up this week. I should remember that.
Right.
The gorilla turned up in the... I showed you, didn't I?
Yeah.
The Flash gorilla. Rob turned up. This is also courtesy of Caleb. So I put this in the middle of another letter.
Oh, yep.
I don't know why I did that.
Uh-huh.
Had a daughter this week.
Oh, congratulations.
Lydia Zor-El, partially to be geeky.
Hang on, sorry, what was it?
Lydia Zor-El.
Zor-El, there we go.
That's right. Partially to be geeky because Zor-El is part of Supergirl's Kryptonian name and partly because it sounds cool.
Yeah, nice.
That is cool. Congratulations.
That's great.
Congratulations.
That's what we say around here. Congratulations.
Anyway, continuing with the first letter that I was reading. James, I know you're a big fan of the show and I was wondering if you read the books or if you have any interest in doing so. I started reading them. However, I urge you not to. The show is infinitely better as Weiss and Benioff have done an excellent job of condensing both the story and the massive cast of characters. At this point, I honestly feel held hostage by the damn things. And we all know books are for nerds.
Correct.
Yeah. I read the first one.
Yep.
And I started to read the second one. This is between season 1 and 2. Uh-huh. And I went, you know what? I like the show better.
Fair enough, yeah.
But you know what? It's one of those things where I think you can... They're such separate entities now.
Yeah.
Where you can definitely enjoy them both.
Mm.
I'm trying to think of another example of that. Breaking Bad and the books.
Wait a second.
I don't know, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Like, you can enjoy both, but they're clearly very different.
Enjoy in air quotes.
Yes.
Better Call Saul's coming out very soon.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
I think it's this month.
Oh, sweet. I hope so. Yeah.
Maybe it's next month.
Maybe it's last month.
Oh, maybe 10 episodes are out already. Also, but they're all coming out in one go, right? Because Netflix.
Are they?
I think so.
I didn't know that. I think it's on AMC.
Mm.
Anyway, whatever.
Okay, right.
James mentioned...
I'm thinking of almost anything else.
Yes.
I'm thinking of something else that's coming out on Netflix.
James mentioned his Christmas tree last episode. Where the hell in Australia do Christmas trees grow? Do you guys import them or what? I could look it up, but I thought I'd just put you on the spot instead. Thanks again, and please go back to Britain, you stupid Brits. Pete Z. He says, brackets, don't even try my name, James. P.S. Mason is a dickhead. So,
look, all that's valid.
we have
We'd say Pete Z.
Yeah, we would, of course.
Yeah.
we have pine trees in Australia. They're fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
They're not native, but yeah.
Never stopped us before.
No. That Christmas tree is still sitting out there as well.
Great.
I missed, there's a school up the road and they put a skip out every week. So I'm going to carry up there and dump it in.
Great.
But I missed it last week.
Uh-huh.
And now that I've rolled my ankle, it's just going to sit out there forever. It's
never going to happen, yeah.
I'll just bring it back in at Christmas.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I was wondering, I'm getting together with some friends. What do I watch? Inception, Dark Knight. Thank you again for all your work that you do. From Sam. P.S. You're a dickhead. He doesn't specify who, but I read it, so I guess it's me.
That's right. You fell for it.
What do you reckon? Inception, Dark Knight.
They're my only choices.
Yes.
It's a big call.
Yeah.
There's a lot of factors that go into this.
Yeah, I guess there is.
How many times? Have they never seen either of them before?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm assuming.
Have they seen Batman Begins?
What would you want to see?
It's probably too late now. I mean,
yeah. What would you want to see if you hadn't seen either of them?
Well, I wouldn't know because I haven't seen them.
But if you had, if you hadn't seen them, which would you pick?
Oh, sure. Dark Knight.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're both great, you can't really go wrong.
No, exactly, yeah.
But Inception,
I think Inception for me has had more rewatches.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm due for another watch of Dark Knight. We'll see how we go. Yeah.
All right. I'll lend you a copy.
I've got it.
I don't have that copy.
Wow, that's weird. You've let me down.
I have?
For the first time.
Yeah. From Wes.
Oh, yes.
Hey, James and Nick. Love the show and keep up the good work. I work at an underground gold mine and regularly download your podcast to listen to it while driving about 2,000 feet from the surface.
I was drinking this water, and when you said 2,000 feet, I was going to spit take. Then I'm like, where do I do it? New microphone.
Yeah.
So that silence was me going, look, it'd be funny, but just to the one guy in the room, me...
And then you'd
have to mop it up and you've got a bung ankle, so.
As such, I'd like to be known as the official gold miner of the podcast. Done. Lucky, because we had a gold miner, but it's been
rebooted. It's been rebooted,
I recently went to Comic-Con in Salt Lake City and got to meet Karen Gillian,
aka
Nebula from Guardians of the Galaxy, and Doctor Who fame.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
That day I had my photo taken with her and real quietly told her to grab that gem.
That's creepy. I love it. Love it.
To which she said, what? But I understood what I said. You know, get the gauntlet. Because she mentioned, I cut this bit out of the email, but she mentioned that in the panel that she'd love to be able to wield the Infinity Gauntlet.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So I'd like to pass credit to you guys if at some point in the movie she gets her hands on one of them, one of those gems.
Oh,
thanks,
yeah.
Thanks, Wes. That's pretty good, isn't
That's
it?
That's great, yeah.
Thank you, Wes. That's really cool.
Mm.
And
all of all the ways you could have interacted with Karen Gillan to cause Gillan, trouble.
I said Gillian, didn't I?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
All of all the ways you've done that, that's probably the safest one, so...
I wanted to ask for a shout out.
Oh, yes.
I love Nick's shout out. You don't really do that anymore as much.
Save them up.
Yeah. What for? The reboot.
Yeah, the reboot. Yeah. Exactly.
For myself, but also for my girlfriend's sister. This one's really for me more than you.
Oh,
but
I see.
But I've got one for you at the end.
Okay, good.
Who was flying out to Tanzania on Monday the 9th of Feb. With the charity Rayleigh International. I remember a few times, James, you mentioned that you'd done some volunteer charity work in Tanzania. And thought you could both give her a shout out, but also if you had any advice for her while she's out there, e.g. dealing with food, weather, food, culture, anything at all. Her name is Katie May and she is 18. Any advice, Mason, for Tanzania? It's pretty good.
Don't drink the water.
Don't definitely.
Any of it.
Don't, definitely not.
Don't drink any water the entire time you're there.
Drink bottled water.
No, don't drink any water. James, it's gotten worse since you've been there. Don't drink any water.
Yeah, probably. Mm. Tanzania is relatively safe. It's like anywhere, though. Keep your hands in your pockets if you're, you know, in a main kind of busy place.
Uh-huh, sure.
Because, you know, but it's actually not that bad for pickpockets compared to, like, Rome.
Sure.
Which is fucking rife with pickpockets.
Yeah, I had the last time I was in Rome, they did the classic...
Give me your wallet, idiot.
Yeah, that one. Oh, that is the classic. They did the one on me, which is like... They show you a newspaper.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the idea, and I'd been worded up on it beforehand, so yeah. I was like, get away! But yeah. I think the idea is they show you a newspaper, and you're like, what are they showing me? I don't understand. And then while you're looking, like, other people come around and pick your pockets kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, get away! Get away!
Swatting at the air.
Yeah. I'm from Australia!
Yeah, I guess take malaria tablets.
Uh-huh.
Though I stopped taking them because I got sick.
Don't take them with water, though.
No, definitely not. Take them dry.
Yep.
Learn, you know, make the effort with the language, I guess. I used to know a little bit of it, actually.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know a lot anymore. Labda means maybe. Galisana means too expensive.
Oh, yes.
I used to know how to say, get out of my face.
Oh.
I don't remember how to say that anymore.
I'm from Australia.
I'm from Australia. Yeah, it's a nice place. So, yeah, but, you know, just like anywhere that's not where you normally live, just keep your wits about you.
Oh, yeah.
And one Australian dollar is worth 1,000 Tanzanian shillings, roughly. Not that that helps because it's the UK. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a nice place. That's it.
Great. Yes. Yeah.
Thirdly, still in the letter. No, I'm asking a lot. Can I be the official Valkyrie as I have a crow tattoo on my ribs on the left side and I was planning on getting my second one on the right side. I got it because of Odin's two Valkyries, his eyes and ears.
Oh, yes.
That's super cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. Hey, guys. My name is Finn and I'm from Canada. I'm a big fan of the show. You do a bloody good job. Recently, my dad was talking about work, saying how he was getting pissed off by a guy named Nick. I visited his office briefly last week.
Oh, here we go.
And to my surprise, I saw a name tag on the cubicle that said Nick Mason. After learning this wonderful man's last name, I told my dad he should just call him by his last name. He agreed. So that every time he gets an email, I hear an aggressive, "Damn it, Mason!" Anyways, I thought it was pretty great.
That man is me.
Yes.
Correct. We do this via Skype.
And he's also the official Nick Mason mini-me.
Huh.
Yeah. I don't care about...
I think we have one of those already. But again, a reboot. So, good.
Okay. Well, I guess that's the show.
Fantastic.
Where can people find us?
They can find us at Weekly Planet Pod on Twitter and at Gmail and on Facebook.
Correct.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
Yes.
There we go.
I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies in Twitter also. Yeah. Right in there.
If people want to support the show, they can... go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies.
Yes.
MR Sunday Movies.
Yes, correct.
And you can donate like $2 or whatever you want.
Or no bucks.
Or no bucks. Just listen to the show. That's what we like.
We like.
Because just tell, if you like the show, tell a friend.
And
subscribe.
And
all
iTunes.
Those vague things.
iTunes.
Tell iTunes. Just shout at your iTunes that you like the show. That helps us, I think. I don't know. Or you can buy a t-shirt.
Yeah, we got t-shirts.
Just go to Redbubble. .com and you type in Weekly Planet and we're there.
There's some sweet merch there.
Yeah, our mate Golden Legend.
Yeah.
He's put them up.
He designed. Likes one of us. He didn't specify who.
Huh.
Yeah, it's weird.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't, does it?
Nah.
As long as we get that sweet merch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk for the themes as well.
Yeah.
We love it, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Next week, I guess we'll do the...
talk about Kingsman.
Kingsman, yeah. Oh, by the way, I found out that the Daredevil series lands the same day. I have a wedding that I don't want to go to.
Oh, sure.
I can't not go, though.
I can, well, I'm not invited, so I'm going to watch Daredevil, so really enjoy your wedding, idiot. Enjoy an expression of eternal love, you dumbass. I'm going to be watching a guy hit a man with a billy club.
You can't get out of that, though, can you?
No. Nope.
There's no excuse for not going to a wedding.
Correct.
Except another wedding or a funeral.
You could leave early.
Yeah, maybe I will.
Mm.
I hope they don't hear this.
I'm just imagining a bridal party, like they're all in the outfits and they're just huddled around an MP3 player and they're like, "He what? What?" Like this is afterwards. Like you've left and then somebody's delivered like an iPod and they're like, "Oh, just it's an old episode of this weekly. What's the weekly part?" And then they listen. They're like, "We what? No, betrayed.
Grab the gem, everybody.
Grab that gem.
Have a great week.
Have a pretty good week." No, just kidding. Have a great week. Okay, bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.